Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host, and this is a special edition episode. Thank you so much for joining us. I am not interviewing someone today. It's just me and you today for a conversation. Really, honestly, it feels a little bit awkward to me. I have to be honest, but I'm going to be talking about my own stories. So I have been doing this podcast for a while, and we're getting ready to kick off season two next week. And I have really not shared with you guys a lot of my own personal experiences. And I have to admit, it's much more comfortable for me that way. But I do think that if I'm going to be here talking with others about wanting to hear about what their faith journey has been like, I think it might be good for you guys to hear what my faith journey has been like as well. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time. If you want to know more about why we do this podcast, or even just what's the point of sharing stories, because I do want everyone to know that it's not about me. It's not about, learning about Jessica's life or whatever. This is really showcasing who God is. And if you want to know more about why we would want to showcase who God is, you can listen to the episode from last week, which was also a special edition episode. And I talk in depth about that. For today, I really want to spend some time so you can get to know me and how things started for me and what God has done. There's absolutely no way for me to be able to share, you know, all the details by any means. But if you interact with other things that I do in ministry, then you'll be able to learn and be exposed a little bit more to that by going to my site at jessicacabrera.org, or also you can, you know, check out the column, which is the Engage Faith column, also found at jessicacabrera.org, or you can sign up for the email communications as well at the Stay Connected link on that site. But the main thing is that over time, you might learn a little more than what I can share today. But I would like for you to know what it is that compels me to be here. For me, my faith journey started when I was actually 14 years old, right before I turned 15 years old. I was not really seeking, honestly. I was just living my 14-year-old life. I went to a summer camp where we served communities by working on the homes of disadvantaged families. And something happened while I was there that caught my attention. And it started to open the window, I think, for me with spiritually. It's almost like my spiritual eyes started to open, and it overwhelmed me, and it created a curiosity within me to understand who is God and what does he want from me and why. And I battled it out with God for a while. And part of my story initially is actually that I would go into my closet at night. And it was kind of a small walk-in closet, and I would go in when no one would know that I was in there and close the door and just sit curled up in my closet, crying out to God and crying, physically crying, and in some sense of unrest or spiritual turmoil, as wondering what was going on with me. Why in the world did I feel like I needed to know God, or why did I feel like there was a God that I was supposed to respond to in some way? What was going on, and why do I, you know, why is it that just weeks ago this was not on my mind at all, and now I can't get it off my mind? It's almost like it's haunting me, and I couldn't let it go. As much as I tried to get away from it, I couldn't. And I sought God in my closet. And I just said, God, who are you? And what do you want from me? And I started to feel that he wanted me to surrender. I didn't really know that word at the time, but I had a feeling that he wanted me to give up my control, or turn to him and let him take over my life. And I cannot explain to you how I knew that that's what he wanted from me, but somehow that was stirring within me, and I didn't understand it, and no one had ever told me that they had had this happen. and I didn't understand that this was a thing that actually happens to people. So I was very kind of lost in the experience, but I couldn't ignore it. And so I kept on going back and kind of battling it out with God. I often think of it as a tug of war. It turned into a tug of war of God saying, I want you, and me saying no, and him saying, come to me, and me saying, nope, I'm going to stay right here. And him saying, I want you to be with me, and me saying, well, I kind of want to be with you. I kind of do now, but I just don't want to turn away from myself in order to turn to you. And he and I just went back and forth, where he persistently pursued me and really came after me in a way, in a loving, kind, gentle way, gracious way, where he wasn't pointing a finger at me. He wasn't scaring me into surrender. He was lovingly saying, Jessica, I want you to be with me, and I want you to trust me. And I felt like, how am I supposed to trust you? I don't know you. And what do you mean you want me to be with you? What does that mean? What am I supposed to do? And the only thing I really knew was it felt like I was supposed to turn away from myself and turn towards him, trust him more than I trust myself. And I did not want to do that. I wanted to still be in control. I wanted to not have to walk away from anything that I wanted, my own personal desires, in order to be with him. And so I kept on telling him, yeah, okay, I like this, I want this, but I don't want to give up anything for it. And I just came to understand that really genuinely surrendering to him meant that I had to count all the other things as not nearly as important as him. And if he was my number one, if he was the thing that I wanted most, the biggest desire of my heart, then all the other things would not matter. And somehow, I can't explain how my 14, 15-year-old mind, because I ended up having a birthday along the way, was grappling with this, but it was. And I ended up going to an evening church service, sitting by myself, and it was a special event. And in that church service, whenever the person was speaking, I had the type of experience where I felt like they were speaking only to me. I honestly felt like I was in a bubble, and it was just that person and me. And I remember physically looking around me to see if there were other people in the room, because I felt so targeted with the message. And they very, very specifically said, if you feel that you need to surrender your control and turn towards God and let him in, then I want you to do that right now. And that was my final tug of war with God. That was my final battling it out, where I my head physically bobbed up and down. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. And I eventually let go, and my head bobbed up, and I opened my eyes, and I locked eyes with the person speaking, and I looked, and it was like God met me right there, and I was completely overwhelmed. It was just a complete overwhelming sense of peace and freedom. I had felt so burdened for months prior. Every time I went into my closet, I felt so heavy. I felt like I was carrying this burden that I couldn't get off my chest. And then in that moment, the burden was lifted, and I was freed from whatever it was that was just that self-sufficiency that was holding me back. And I felt this load lifted. I felt an overwhelming peace. I felt a confidence in that God is trustworthy, and that he's safe, and that now I'm safe, and he rescued me out of the pit of the confusion and the chaos and the heaviness, and he put me into a place of confidence and peace and comfort and assurance. And from that point forward, the story unfolded. And I wondered even days after if it was going to change. You know, I questioned at times. I was like, did that really happen? And then I'd say to myself, no, it really did happen. I know it happened. And I was changed. Everything in my life started to, I just saw things through different eyes. I understood things differently. And in fact, I started to write in my journal the things that I believed now. Like, I believe this, I believe that, I believe this, I believe that. And I would write all these things that were just pouring out of me, of these convictions and beliefs about who God is and what God's about and how God works. And I have no idea. I mean, I say I have no idea where this was coming from. Of course, now I know that this was the Holy Spirit, but at the time it was very weird. It was very weird because no one had ever told me that this was a thing that happens to people. And so I just felt very isolated in my experience, but it was very real to me. And then I discovered the Bible. And when I opened the Bible, I was like, oh my gosh, it says what I've been writing in my journal. I mean, I would go to things that I had written in my journal about who I now understood God to be and what he's like. And then I'd go to the Bible and I would read. It would say in Jesus's word, this is who I am. And it was just absolutely phenomenal to be able to look between the Bible and what the Spirit had stirred within me in the early days of my faith and see that it was the same God. The God of the Bible was the same God who had met me in my closet and who had rescued me from my chaos and confusion. And I have never, ever, ever been without him since. I've been walking now in this faith relationship with God for 30 years. I've been through a lot. I've lived in multiple countries. I've learned different languages. I've had lots of different life experiences. God has interacted with me in very miraculous ways at times. And it's just absolutely incredible that when he does this, he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And even when you wander, he is there. And you cannot go anywhere where you are away from his presence. And once he restores you into that right relationship with him, he is faithful and he is sure. And you are forever, forever locked in to his grace and into his goodness, even when you yourself turn. And I'm just so thankful. And to this day, when I'm just, you know, you would see me walking into a church just like any other person. I'm walking in, you know, we were rushing from the house. My 15-year-old son has a really hard time getting out of the house in a timely manner. So then we end up rushing into the church doors and finding our seat where we sit in the normal spot where we normally sit and whatnot. And the music starts. And in that moment, still to this day, I think of that night. I think of him coming for me and pursuing me and finding me and delivering me and rescuing me from my darkness. And I'm so thankful that he didn't give up on me. I'm so thankful that he filled me with his Spirit. And I'm so thankful that he hasn't left me ever since. And when I worship not only that moment, but every moment since then, where I've been privileged to be able to experience who he is. So, oh gosh, from that point forward, life was just such an adventure. You know, honestly, I mean, God is not a boring God. And there's so many stories that I could tell you, but God, for some reason, has chosen to call me to relocate on 5 different occasions to places that I did not want to go for reasons that I did not understand. It's a very mysterious thing that he's done. In fact, a lot of people ask me whenever they hear about where we've lived, especially now that I live in the Northern Virginia area, are you guys in the military? And I tell them, no, not in the U.S. military, but we are sort of in God's military because God has chosen to work this way in our lives. So I'm going to tell you some of the tidbits of these stories. There's absolutely no way that I can tell you all of the details of every single instance that I've seen God work his might and his power and his presence in our lives. It is almost too many to count. I've actually written about it, and it's up to 100 pages. So there's no way in the next couple of minutes for me to give you all the details, but I'll try to give you some, like a highlight reel of some of the times that God's presence has just been so evident. And hopefully by the end, you'll understand a little bit more of what God's like and how he interacts with us here on earth through some of these instances that I've experienced. Before I tell you about some of these five relocations that we've experienced, I have to explain. I'm going to say things like, God called me, God led me, God said to me, God prompted me, God stirred within me, and those types of things. And whenever I share these stories with people, especially in one-on-one conversations, that right there is what most people struggle with. They go, but how did you know? And how did God prompt you? And I do have a lot of very detailed examples of ways that God communicated with me in these scenarios. But I think it's really important as you listen to these stories to just start out with some, let's just set the, like, clear the stage and say, all right, we're going to agree, number one, that there's a physical world, which you can see and touch. And then there is a spiritual world, which is an unseen world. And so this is a world of good and evil. And there's a spiritual realm, a spiritual domain that is in our midst, and we can't see it. When my kids were little, I would explain to them, I would ask them, do you believe that the wind is real? Yes, mommy, of course there's wind. Well, how do you know? Well, because when it blows, I can see it blowing the leaves. I can see the trees bend. I can see, you know, things fly around on the ground. And I say, okay, I see that you can see the effect of the wind, but can you see the wind? And the reality is the wind is there, but you can't see the wind, but you can see the effect of the wind. And that's what spiritual things are like. You can't see the spiritual things, but you can see the effect of spiritual things. And if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know that there are definitely spiritual things going on this earth. And Jesus is a part of our story. In Hebrews 11:1, we read what faith, this is an introduction to faith. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So again, faith is all about the unseen. It's about putting trust and faith in something that you cannot see, but that you know is real. The second thing is to understand that God is a communicator. He's the great communicator, and he communicates in so many ways. He can communicate through spiritual encounters. So that's like, you know, basically from my experience, it's almost like a magnet, a spiritual magnet, where God is drawing you in. He's getting your attention. He's waking you up. He's stirring your mind. Something's bubbling up inside of you and you can't explain why. He can also communicate through others, through people. He can communicate through the Word of God in the Bible. It gives us instruction. It gives us guidance and wisdom. And we know truth through the Word. And also he can communicate to other people in order to intervene in your life. One time I needed $300 for something that God was telling me to do. I had done everything I could to raise all the other money, and I was $300 short, and I had to make the payment the next day on a Monday. And I was saying to God, God, I don't know what I have no way to get this $300. I don't know how to get this $300, and I have to have it by tomorrow. Maybe I'm not going to be able to do the thing that you want me to do. And do you know, someone walked up to me at church that Sunday, shook my hand, put money in the palm of my hand and said, I was praying to God this morning and he told me to give this to you, and then walked away. I got in my car. I opened the palm of my hand. I looked at how much money it was. It was $300. That is an example how God, through the Spirit, communicated to another believer. And then that person came to me, and God intervened in my world as a result of that person talking to him. So, I mean, he's absolutely remarkable. He can orchestrate things. He can plan things out. So there's nothing that he cannot do. So if we can agree there's a spiritual world and that God does communicate with mankind, then I think my stories will make a little bit more sense to you. The very first time that he relocated me, I was a sophomore in college. I loved my life. I was having a great time. My roommates, my classes, I was doing a Bible study. I was super involved. I did, and God started to prompt me and stir in me and kind of and draw me in and get my attention to tell me that I needed to study in Chile, South America. And I did not want to do this. I didn't speak Spanish. I was not a traveler. I had no interest in studying abroad. That was not something that was on my radar. I was really upset with God that he was telling me to do this. And I kept on fighting it and trying to run from it. And God kept on popping into my life and showing up and getting my attention. And I could not get it off my mind. It was popping up in conversations. It was so many different things were happening that it's like I couldn't get away from it. And I eventually surrendered to God and said, I don't know why I have to do this. You clearly are telling me that I need to do this. But I don't understand why I have to do this. But I couldn't not do it at that point. I just had to do it because he was not letting me go. And he kept on pressing on me to do this. So I go, I study in Chile, South America. It changed my life. I changed my degree. I ended up staying longer than I had originally planned. I met obviously a whole new network of people in South America. I got involved with a church in South America that has ended up being a part of my journey. I became fluent in Spanish. I learned how to dance salsa and merengue. I fell in love with the country of Chile, the culture, the history. I learned all of it, and I walked away feeling like Chile was almost like a second home to me. This place that I didn't even know that I needed to have in my life, and now it was this big part of me. And I came back and I went on my way. I kept on studying and traveling and doing all sorts of different things. My friends were like, oh, look at what God did. He sent you to Chile. Now you speak Spanish. Now you have a different degree. He redirected your path. That's why he sent you. And I thought, yeah, maybe that's it. But for some reason, I felt like there was still something else. And I didn't know why, but I just felt like, I don't know, maybe I could have learned Spanish a different way. Did he really need to send me specifically to that country at that time for that reason, just to get me to learn Spanish and to meet these people? I don't know. I just feel like God's doing something more. And went on with my life. Well, now I was a senior in college, and I was planning to go to Spain for 2 years. I wanted to do a master's degree in Spain, and my heart was set on this. This is what I wanted more than anything. All the paperwork was working out, the money was working out, everything was working out, but as I pursued it more and more, the heavier I felt in my spirit. In my spirit, I felt so heavy. When I would pray, I felt like God was saying, Jessica, don't do this. And so then I would stop praying. And as I was just walking and, you know, across campus or whatever, I just felt like God was just reverberating in my mind saying, don't go. This is not what I have for you. And I was mad. I was so mad. And I wanted to go anyway. And I wanted him to stop bothering me and stop telling me to do something that I didn't want to do. But because of this conflict that I had with God, I fell into a depression. And I got really depressed. It was a very dark time for me. I didn't want to talk with people. I'm a very social person. I did not want to talk with people. I did not want to talk to God. I was not interested in socializing. I didn't want to talk about my future. I really was just going through the motions of life. And it was so heavy on me that I felt like I couldn't carry the burden anymore. And I finally got to the place through, again, just be mindful. God led me. He prompted me. I did lots of kind of dealing with God on this. But eventually I got to the point where I let go. He confirmed with me that this is what he was telling me to not do. I've let go. And at that point, I had no plan. I did not know what I was going to do after college, but I wasn't going to go to Spain. And I started to think, what would I want to do if I could do anything? And I thought, man, in an ideal world, I would love to go to a bigger city where there's a larger Spanish-speaking population, where I could just try my hand at a few odd jobs before I really settle down. But Jessica, that's stupid, because you can't live in a big city if you're not making money. You have to have a job and all these kinds of things. So I move on. Well, 3 days later, I get a phone call from a family member who used to live in Dallas, Texas. And she says, I don't know why, but for some reason you've been on my mind a lot. And I just can't shake it. So I thought I would call. Don't feel pressured. You don't have to do this, but it's an option if you need it. I've moved, but I still have my house vacant in Dallas. And if you would like, you could come to Dallas. You could live in my house. You could help me out with a few things. And then maybe, I don't know, I was just thinking that maybe you would like to be in a bigger city where there's a larger Spanish-speaking population, where you could try your hand at a few things before you really have to settle down. And right then, I was actually shopping when I got this phone call. I dropped the bags that were in my hand and I just stood there with my eyes popping out of my head. I thought, you have to be kidding me. Really? I think right now I just figured out what I'm supposed to do. I'm apparently supposed to go to Dallas. So now I'm moving to Dallas. I end up in Dallas, and it's kind of a long story, of course, but what is most remarkable about God stopping me from going to Spain, sending me to Dallas, is that 2 months later, I met my husband. And when I met my husband, he didn't speak English. So I'm trying to figure out, what language do you speak and what country are you from? And as I'm trying to interact with him to figure this out, I find out he speaks Spanish and he's from Chile. My husband is the first Chilean that I ever met in the U.S. since I had returned from living in Chile. And right then and there, God started to put together the final pieces of the story of when he started to prompt me years prior to move to Chile. And it was because of that I knew the language, I knew the culture, I knew his country. He and I both love to dance. And so part of how we became friends and how we started to date was through salsa dancing, which I learned when I was living there. This is something that I saw the hand of God orchestrating things throughout time. And I did not want to go to Chile. I didn't want to go to Dallas. I was wanting to go in a different direction. And God, in his loving kindness, orchestrated all things for my good and ultimately his glory, because now I'm sitting here telling you about it. Isn't it incredible? So now my husband and I are living in Dallas, and we bought a home. We had our jobs. We got a dog, and everything was going well. About 3 years in, over the summer, I had this thing going on where I felt like I was supposed to get this certification, and I didn't know why. And I was kind of thinking it was silly because it was very expensive and I had no use for the certification. But it was interesting to me, and I was just felt like I was supposed to do it. I grappled around about it and then ultimately decided to do it. So invested in getting this certification, got it, got certified, and then afterwards was like, I don't know why I just did that, because now I'm going back to teaching high school and I'm not really going to use this certification, but oh well. Well, 9 months later, God starts to stir in our lives and he starts to prompt us to move. And this time it was to move to South Carolina. And I really did not want to go to South Carolina. That's where I'm from, and I was really loving Dallas. I loved everything about what we had there, and I did not want to leave. I was upset with God that he was prompting us to do this, and it made no sense to me. I did not understand it, and it was very frustrating, but just kind of battled it out with God. He stuck it out with us and continued to prompt and move and show and signs and wonders and all sorts of things in order for us to know that he was telling us to do this. And so we were in the process of selling our house, and I was looking for a job. I came across a job in a corporate and continuing education department of a technical college where we were going to move. And I called up the hiring manager, because you could do that back in the day, and inquired about the job. And she said, "Thank you so much for your interest, but unfortunately, we're looking for someone who has this very specific certification, and only one person in the state of South Carolina has it right now, and they live in a different city. So we're looking for somebody who would have this certification living in our city." And I said, "Well, what is the certification?" And she tells me the name of it, and it was the certification that I had gotten the summer prior. I said to her, "I have that certification." And she could not believe it. I basically got hired on the spot. So she's like, "The job is yours if you have this certification and you're going to live in this city." And I said, "Yes." And so that's how I got my first job when I moved to South Carolina, was in this very miraculous kind of God ordained and orchestrated way that I ended up having a job whenever we moved. So we go to South Carolina. We live in South Carolina for about 5 or 6 years. We have our 2 children while we're living there. And then God starts to do it again. And I cannot believe it. I thought this was over. I thought that this was part of my early life, in order for God to kind of put us wherever he was going to put us for, you know, the unforeseeable future. But nope. God starts doing it again. And he, this time, calls us to move to Chile with our 2 children. And it was scary. This was not a good time for us. We had struggled for about 5 or 6 straight years. We had had some major hard things happen in our life. And we had gone through major financial distress. We had had health. My husband had 2 different health big health problems. I had a pregnancy loss. There were lots of different things that had happened in this time that had just knocked us on our knees over and over and over again. And we were having a really hard time crawling out from all of it. And we had just gotten to the point that we were somewhat like, maybe there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel. And right then is when God started to call us to go to Chile. And I can remember being on my knees at my couch going, no, God, please, no, God, please, no, don't ask us to do this. Please don't ask us to do this. And God stayed with us and he persisted. And while we were in the process of trying to figure out what we were doing, we didn't know how long we were going to go for. Was it going to be 3 months or 3 years? We had no idea. So I was really praying about that. God, how long do you want us to be there? And I'm driving my son to preschool one day. He was 4 years old, and I think I'm going to ask him what he thinks. And I figured I said, "How long do you think we should go for?" And he normally would have said 1 minute or 1,000,000 years, because he's 4 and that's his time frame. If it's 1 minute, that means not for very long, and if it's 1,000,000 years, that means let's stay as long as we can, right? Well, I ask him this question and he pauses and doesn't respond right away. And after like 30, 40 seconds, he just blurts out 8 months. And I thought, that was weird. I've never even heard him say the word month before. That was strange. Okay, whatever. So we drive, we get to the preschool, and I'm still thinking how strange that was. So before we get out of the car, I turn around, I look at him in his car seat, and I say, "Bud, why did you say 8 months?" And he looked at me. I swear it looked like my 4-year-old was staring into my soul. He looked at me. He put his hand on his chest and he said, "God told me in my heart." And I thought, what? So I just thought that was so strange and I couldn't get over it. But so I take him in. I take him to class. Well, do you know that a missionary family ended up renting our house? They had the budget that we needed for someone to be able to pay to cover the expenses of the house while we were gone. And she says to me, "The only thing that's weird about our situation is our timeline. This is when we need to arrive and this is when we need to depart, and we really don't have any flexibility." And when I calculated it, it was 8 months. I mean, guys, if you can't tell me that this is God, I mean, God is prompting us to do these things and then he's showing up in these ways. And that was one of the many things that God did. I have like 8 more stories just about the going to Chile thing before we even left. And then I've got 10 more whenever we got to Chile of how God interacted with us in order to orchestrate things according to His will. And we are here just like riding the wave. I feel like I'm just hopping on a surfboard and just body surfing these waves that God is sending us on. And it keeps on going, guys. He ended up doing it again in order for us to be able to come to Northern Virginia. And I don't have time to give you these details, but I just think that it's absolutely remarkable that God has shown up in so many ways. And the fact that I've been able to see Him move like this, it's just incredible that God of the universe would be so personal and intimate. And He's this way for all of us. If you listen to this podcast, he's this way for everyone I've ever talked to on this podcast. He's personal. He's just so close. It's incredible how well He knows you. And in my case, in my story, He has constantly been a God that has called me to courage. He says, Jessica, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. And Jessica has been a coward. I have been scared. I have cowered in the corner. I have fought Him. I have said no. I have said, I don't want to do this. I think my way is better than your way. And He says, Jessica, my way is better than your way. My understanding is higher than your understanding. And I am here for you. I am not against you. I will make a way. And He is true. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, His way is better. Thank you for listening to my stories today. I hope they will encourage you and that they will pour courage into you, that you will trust Him with your life. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.